It is time for Sarah's Wiki Corner. So, hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hello. What are we learning about today on your Wiki Corner?
Well, today is Star Trek Day in honor of the day that the original series premiered in 1966.
Okay.
So I thought that in honor of Star Trek Day, we would talk about the people most likely to be celebrating Star Trek Day, Trekkies.
Oh, Trekkies.
Trekkies.
Oh,
yes. So many early Trekkies were also fans of The Man from U.N.C.L.E., which was another show with science fiction elements and a devoted audience.
Okay.
The first Star Trek fanzine called Spockinalia appeared in September of 1967, including the first published fan fiction based on the show.
Right.
Star Trek creator Gene Roddenberry, who was aware of and encouraged such activities, a year later estimated that 10,000 people wrote or read fanzines.
Mm.
So, started early.
Started early, yeah.
Perhaps the first large gathering of fans occurred in April of 1967, when actor Leonard Nimoy appeared as Spock as Grand Marshal of the Medford Pear Blossom Festival Parade in Oregon. He hoped to sign hundreds of autographs, but thousands of people appeared.
Wow.
And he had to be rescued by police.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Leonard Nimoy. Get him out of there. Quick.
Another was in January of 1968, when more than 200 Caltech students marched to NBC's Burbank studios to support Star Trek's renewal.
Mm.
The first fan convention devoted to the show happened on March 1st of 1969 at the Newark Public Library in New Jersey.
Nah.
Organized by a librarian who was one of the creators of Spockinalia, the first fanzine. The Star Trek Con did not have celebrity guests, but did have slideshows, skits, and a fan panel.
I bet it was great.
I bet it was
Love to have video amazing. From that.
However, the Trekkie phenomenon did not come to the attention of the general public until after the show was canceled in 1969 and reruns entered syndication. The first widely publicized fan convention occurred in January of 1972 at the Statler Hilton Hotel in New York, featuring Gene Roddenberry, Isaac Asimov, and 2 tons of NASA memorabilia.
Oh.
2 tons that's of NASA. That's a lot of memorabilia.
Yeah.
The organizers expected 500 attendees at the first international Star Trek convention, but more than 3,000 people came.
Wow.
By then, more than 100 fanzines about the show existed. Its reruns were syndicated to 125 American TV stations in 60 other countries, and news reports on the convention caused other fans who had believed themselves to be alone to organize their own convention.
See, they didn't have the internet back then.
They didn't.
They thought they were just on their own, just a pocket of people, and that's about it.
Yeah.
The internet brings people together, you see.
Yeah, you're right.
It does no harm.
You're not wrong. Because Star Trek was set in the future, the show did not become dated, and by counter-programming during the late... Well, I know. by counter-programming during the late afternoon or early evening when other stations showed the news, it attracted a young audience.
Oh, sure.
The rerun's great popularity, which is greater than when Star Trek originally aired in prime time, caused Paramount to receive thousands of letters each week demanding the show's return and promising that it would be profitable. The fans were correct that it would be profitable if they brought it back.
Mm-hmm.
By the mid-1990s, Star Trek had become the studio's single most important property. Today, it's become one of the most recognizable and highest grossing media franchises of all time, with a total estimated revenue of $11.2 billion.
With a B.
With a B, yeah. So Trekkie is the only fan label listed in the Oxford English Dictionary.
Oh, it's in there.
It's in there. And words from the series, including Klingon, have also been added to the dictionary. Klingon has actually spawned a life of its own, going on to garner its own grammar and vocabulary and dedicated speakers from across the globe.
I've heard that.
Yeah. Now, a mecca of the Star Trek fandom is in Alberta, Canada.
Oh, I didn't know that was the mecca of anything.
The township of Vulcan, Alberta.
Oh.
Yeah. The town has embraced Star Trek themes as part of its community identity, including a Star Trek-themed tourist station, a replica of the Starship Enterprise, and other Star Trek attractions that are all throughout the town.
Nice. Wow.
Yeah. Why not? Embrace it, right?
Yeah.
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 Many scientists and engineers claim that their professional and life choices were influenced by Star Trek. The inventor of the first non-vehicular cell phone, a guy named Martin Cooper.
The non-vehicular cell phone.
So,
okay.
Like our cell phone that we know today.
Yeah.
States that he was motivated to develop it from watching Star Trek.
Is that right?
Yeah. Others have also been inspired by Star Trek when designing new technology, such as Dr. Peter Janssen, who invented a functional tricorder, and several computer scientists at the University of Illinois who have created a prototypical version of Star Trek's famous holodeck, the holograms. I guess.
Yeah, I've always thought, like, part of, you know, being creative and being able to invent something new, first of all, you have to figure out what you want to invent in some cases.
Yeah.
And, you know, the creativity of the people who put these stories together, they put the item out there, and then somebody says, well, maybe we can make that happen.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
You picked out a record to go along with Trekkies, did you, Sarah?
Yeah, so there are a lot of famous Trekkies, one of them being Roy Orbison, who was apparently a huge fan of the show and would often play the theme song at the beginning of his shows. Now, the song we're going to play was in the 1996 movie Star Trek First Contact, and it was the first element of human culture shared with an alien race. So, pretty big deal. So, we're going to play Roy Orbison's song, Ooby Dooby.
Ooby Dooby. Sarah, thanks so much.
Hey, baby, jump over here when you do the Ooby Dooby. I'm trying to be near Ooby Dooby.
Ooby Dooby, Roy Orbison, and Teen Kings? Is that what it says? 423, Sarah, do remind us, why did we just play that record?
Well, because Roy Orbison was apparently a big Trekkie himself, and we were talking about Trekkies, because today's Star Trek Day.
Star Trek Day. By the way, that song, later on, about a half hour from now, you'll be singing that song, and you'll think, what am I singing? Mm-hmm. It will be from the 2 minutes here in the Wiki Corner where
You're
we
welcome.
Play the record. You're welcome for that earworm.
Yeah.
It will haunt you all night. Let's recap three things we must take away from today's Wiki Corner. Are you ready?
Ready.
Go.
Okay, the first Star Trek fan convention happened at the Newark Public Library in 1969.
So many great things started at the Newark Public Library. Trekkie is the only fan label listed in the Oxford English Dictionary.
And the inventor of the first cell phone said he was motivated to develop it from watching Star Trek.
There you go. Thank you very much for that.
All of us would not have cell phones if it weren't for Star Trek.
Yeah.
Think about that.
Yeah, just think about that for a second. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Yeah.
You people make fun of it. Folks want to learn more about Trekkies, Sarah, where do they go? What do they do?
Well, you can go to my wiki blog. If you go to legends1027.com on the homepage, there's a link that takes you to my blog where I post everything I talk about every day.
Plus, we stream this every day on Facebook as well as on the air, and you can catch the archives of it on YouTube. Go to YouTube, search out Sarah's Wiki Corner channel for the latest and greatest. And be sure to like and subscribe so you know we post new material. And you're back tomorrow, a fresh episode at 4:10.
Sure am.
Can't wait to learn more about something tomorrow. Thank you, Sarah.
You're welcome.
Bobby Caldwell, America, and Fleetwood Mac, one of my faves from them. Coming up in the next 15 minutes on Legends 102.7.